Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The news comes from outside One Bills Drive. From Pittsburgh first, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is out for the rest of the season. He had an MRI on his right elbow last night. The Steelers doctors determined that surgery is required. Head coach Mike Tomlin said, "We expect the surgery will be scheduled this week. He'll go on IR. He is out for the rest of the season." Ben Roethlisberger gone. Drew Brees likely to be out 6 weeks. The New Orleans Saints quarterback expected to undergo thumb surgery as early as today. That'll keep him out about 6 weeks. He knew he needed surgery for the ligament damage, according to ESPN. He was still deciding who would do the surgery. Saints have not indicated yet whether they're going to put Brees on injured reserve, which would free up a roster spot, but keep him on the sidelines for about 8 weeks. New Orleans turns to Teddy Bridgewater, the league's highest-paid backup quarterback. The Bills come out of yesterday fairly healthy. Devin Singletary came out with a hamstring issue yesterday. An update may be coming later this afternoon from head coach Sean McDermott. Bills 2-0, starting 2-0 on the road with two straight road wins for the first time in franchise history. The Bills came up with the win over the New York Giants yesterday at MetLife Stadium, the first team to win road games in consecutive weeks in the same facility since the Bears swept the Giants and Jets back in 2006. Now it's the Bengals. Home opener, 1 o'clock on Sunday here at New Era Field. The game officially a sellout, but the Bills do have limited club seat inventory available for sale. The team they beat yesterday, the Giants, their head coach Pat Shurmur is not ready to fully commit to Eli Manning as their starter. He says that he's been our starter so far this year. He says we evaluate every position every week. Shurmur says he understands that he's leaving the door open for Daniel Jones to possibly replace Eli. Monday Night Football tonight, it's a matchup of the first ever Monday Night Football telecast. That was the Browns and the Jets, September 21st, 1970. Tonight, it's the Browns at the Jets at MetLife Stadium, 8:15 kickoff tonight. And the Sabres preseason begins tonight. They play Pittsburgh at Pegula Ice Arena on the Penn State campus. That's a 7 o'clock faceoff. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and our man Chris Brown, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com, live in studio with us for the next several minutes. If you have comments or questions for Chris, we got the phone lines open. You got your earpiece in. He does. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Steve, why don't you get it started with Brownie?
All right, please. Brownie, we've been asking the fans. We haven't got a chance to really talk. We took a couple of calls about what the biggest takeaway from this game was. And if you look at it, I mean, the Bills answered the bell offensively and defensively after getting hit in the mouth on both sides of the ball early, and then just answered every question that came up in this game. But that was my takeaway. What's your biggest takeaway from this?
Well, I thought a big factor that was going to help the Bills win this game and win it handily was the separation ability of Cole Beasley and John Brown. I put it down in my scouting report on BuffaloBills.com as the one thing that could decide the game. And you pick your head up at the end of the game, and I think they had 12 catches for 155 yards combined and had all five third-down conversions on offense for the Bills. That, to me, was the difference in the game. The Giants didn't have that person in their receiving core.
Right.
The Bills did. That's what kept them on the field. That's why they had four scoring drives of 70 yards or more.
Going in, didn't you think the Bills would be able to do that based on the
yes,
way the Giants
that's
played?
Why I thought it was going to be something that could decide the game ultimately. I said it on the pregame show with Eric Wood and Sal yesterday. It might be one of the slowest defenses collectively, front to back, that I have seen in the last 5 years. They don't Janoris Jenkins might be their only athlete, true athlete, on the field, on the defensive side of the ball. They got, you know, a couple of kids that they bring in their pass rush packages who aren't bad either. But, I mean, man, they are devoid of speed and athleticism collectively on that side of the ball. So as excited as I am about the Bills' offense and the way they were able to execute and perform, I want to kind of pump my brakes a little bit and just recognize the fact that this might be one of the worst defenses in football. I mean, if it wasn't for the Dolphins, this might be the worst defense in football.
Yeah, I could see that. Did you were you not impressed though with the way Buffalo maintained long drives? Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
You know, you can make big plays, and they had third down pickups. Did a pretty good job on third downs, but 70-yard scoring drive, 75-yard scoring drive, 98-yard scoring drive. That doesn't happen against any real decent defense in the league, right?
Well, you're and they've done it for decent. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's six. Their six touchdown drives are all 70 yards or more.
Yeah.
Last week it was 80 and 85. So. You hope it's not just a one-week thing that, you know, you got the best of a bad defense. And I want to believe that that's the case. But I don't know that we're going to get any definitive answers this coming week because Cincinnati got lit up by San Francisco this past Sunday. I think once you face the number one defense in football, which right now is New England in 2 weeks, you'll probably have a better handle on just how good this offense can be.
I was going to ask, are we going to know enough about this offense to – believe they can win in a number of different ways. They can win by running it. They can win by throwing it. They can win, you know, with defense, obviously.
I was encouraged, you know, by Josh's ability to improvise and make something happen on his own, extending a play and then making a big play. You know, that last third down conversion to Josh to John Brown on the right side of the field near sideline where he gunned it into him after getting away from pressure and rolling out. Those are the kinds of plays – you're going to need two or three of those probably from Josh every week. And if he can deliver on those more often than not, this team's going to stay on the field offensively. They're going to finish drives with touchdowns instead of field goals.
With Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, talking about yesterday's game. You're welcome to join us. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. I'm not a know-it-all, but I am not surprised by Beasley and John Brown making these contributions.
What was that? What was that?
I don't know everything.
What was that clarification and preface to
the
comment?
No, I don't know everything. Look, I feel a little guilty. I told Steve, I was on a radio show this morning with Russ Tucker. Okay. And several times the question kept coming up. The question kept coming up. Are you surprised by this? Are you surprised by Brown and Beasley? Are you surprised by Josh Allen? Are you surprised by the Bills are 2-0? And the answers were categorically no, no, and no.
Right.
This is kind of what we saw the first part of the season play out as.
I think for those of us who have been around the team every day, we thought there was certainly a possibility for things to unfold like this. And so now that they, in fact, have, you know, I don't think any of us are surprised by the way the team has been able to deliver and execute. For the rest of the universe, it's complete surprise that, you know, an offense that only scored more than 27 points twice last season has done, you know, rips off 28 against Giants and, you know, wins their first two road games. I think it is a surprise to a lot of people because I still think a lot of people are sleeping on this team.
That's what I mean. I'm not because I'm not saying I saw this coming.
So I think that's why it's shocking to other people. But if you've seen the way this roster has been built in the last 2+ years and how much deeper this roster is, I mean, Robert Foster was your only deep threat on this team last year. He doesn't even get to play now.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that guy was like third in the league in receiving yards over the last 7 weeks of the season last year. He doesn't get on the field. Right. What did he get, 20 snaps last week, 16 the week before? I mean, he's playing on special teams on kickoff coverage now.
Yep.
I mean, that's just one small example of the depth of this team, you know? You lose Taron Johnson, your major nickel corner. They bring in three different guys yesterday to fill the void, and they do a good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's no coincidence Robert Foster's not on the field. He was the number one, maybe number two guy last season in the second half of the year.
Now he's the four.
He's five.
Or five, yeah.
He's behind Isaiah McKenzie, too, I would
say. Well, yeah. Yeah, I would give you that. Yeah. So he's the five, yeah.
Right, and when Andre Roberts comes back, he may be inactive.
Possible.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah,
because
Andre Roberts gives you more.
That's how much better they are. And let's face it, we were talking about it in the last segment. They were 73-25 outscored last year in the first two games. Now they're not outscored. Everything's different on this offense from a year ago. Everything is different.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Do you still do a thing, brownie points given out?
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. I'd love to do it.
Well, I got a nomination.
Our video people are strapped, though. Yeah, I mean, they got four people doing the job, six people. So
you want to hear my nomination?
I'm not going to put another thing on them.
Lorenzo Alexander, two special teams tackles yesterday. Now he's chasing down kicks and punts, and he's still a starter at linebacker. And
well, he was doing that even with Rex.
But he's making big. Yeah, I know, and he kind of like put special teams aside the last year or so.
Maybe last year, a little bit.
Now he's right back
in
the mix.
He was still on some units. Not all four units,
but
he was on
plays,
some.
Not just running downfield. He's making
plays. I'll
tell
you, I'm impressed with the level of latitude that Coach McDermott is giving Coach Farwell in using whoever the heck he wants on special teams. I'm because at the beginning of the game, I always count up whether it's kick return or kick cover. Who's out there? Jordan Poyer's on kick coverage. Lorenzo Alexander's on kick coverage. I mean, you got starters out there on defense and on offense playing on special teams. I mean, he's given him anybody he feels he needs to win a football game. And to the credit of the players, they're like, yeah, go ahead, man.
I'm in,
I don't care.
You know who played well
on special? If it means we're going to win the game, put me out there. I'm ready to go. I'll go run 60 yards and cover a kick and then go play 60 plays on defense.
You know who really had a good game on special teams and flashed a couple of times was Saran Neal. He made a tackle inside the 15.
He was showing signs of that last year.
Played really well on special teams. And Bjorquez has shown some consistency that we were real questioning before the season started, right?
He's still got some road to cover there, but a little bit better.
Special teams expert, 60-yard punt return. What happened there?
Did he outkick the coverage?
Here's the thing. If you don't want him to, don't tell him not to. Because I think it's changed. Back when there was a time.
We're not trying to blame him.
I think we're just trying
to know if we read the play the right way.
Sure.
Did he outkick it?
Sure, there's a little bit of space. Plus, what happened was on behalf of the Giants, they got different levels of guys. They got a couple of guys where you spread out and you cover, you know, you got everybody evenly, like a picket fence coming down the field.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of those picket fences got held up and a couple in a row. So you had a bigger gap in the coverage.
With, okay.
You know what I'm saying? To get different levels of coverage.
And vertically. That's,
yeah, vertically
on the field,
vertically.
Not horizontally.
Like some guys were 15 yards down the field and the other guys were 25. Yeah. That space between the levels of coverage, instead of being shoulder to shoulder, they're trailing each other, and then you got problems.
What made me think, and again, looking at it again this morning, that he outkicked the coverage is when T.J. Jones caught the punt, there was nobody within 15 yards, maybe.
Now he's got a head of steam.
Yeah.
Right.
One cut, gone.
And you can also set up a lot of things as a returner. When you catch the ball, you can take off in a direction really hard, and then set things up.
Yeah.
And you stop and put your foot in the ground and
that's what Terrence McGee was so great at. Sticking his foot in the ground and bang.
He beats
eight guys on one cut.
But the philosophy is this. If you're going to kick a 63-yard punt and you give up a 10-yard return, cool, that's a 53-yard net, no problem. But if you kick it 40 yards and give up 10 yards, that is a problem. It's only a 30-yard net. So that it has changed since you got these young punters and a lot of special teams coaches, I don't care if I give up a 20-yard punt return if it's a 65-yard punt.
Right.
There was a 3-yard net on that one.
Right. Yeah. The problem is
63 exactly. And then 61 the other
right.
way.
Right. The problem is, and the philosophy that I was always in with the Bills, kick that thing 40 to 45
you
yards.
Hang it up.
5-second hang time, and you want everything fair caught. Because if that guy's fair catching it, he's never going to take
that's how
the
Chris
distance.
Moore stayed in the league, because he can hang it for 5
well,
seconds.
Well, they paid him for and they told him they paid him for it because he'd never go to the Pro Bowl doing that. He'd never get acclaim doing that. But because he was willing to do that, they kept him around. And if you're always got fair catches, nobody's taking it 65 yards the other way.
Yeah. All right, let's take your calls. What do you want to talk about? Do you have any takeaways from yesterday's game? Rich in Angola on the line. Rich, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hi. Yeah, I think the most impressive thing that they did yesterday was they flipped the field. The Giants, they did a great job of special teams and put the ball on the one-yard line. And then I thought for sure they were going to kick and the Giants were going to come back and score. But they went, 99 yards?
98-yard drive, yeah.
That was very, very, very impressive. It's incredible that they did that because they flipped the field and scored.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the things about it, I just read this stat, was that the Bills are second only to the Dallas Cowboys for longest sustained drives. We have 5 drives so far in the season that are 70 yards plus.
6.
6 yards. And the Cowboys, the same thing. They've got 6. So I think there's one of theirs or two theirs. Where
no, they have 8. They have 7.
Oh,
there's
sorry.
Another team with 8. Okay. I think there's 2 teams ahead of the Bills.
But the Bills are at the top of the league because of their ability to sustain.
Right.
They did it last week. Remember the two touchdown drives were both
80 and 85, I think
right.
it was.
Right. So they're staying on the field, and it's enormous if they can do that. It shortens the game.
Well,
it plays into the strength of your defense. And if you don't turn it over, man, you're a tough out.
And they weren't. they weren't error-free on some of those either. Right. I mean, they had a couple of false starts.
Oof.
You know, there was a couple of drop passes, you know, ill-advised throws, run plays that went nowhere. You know, they were facing some long down and distance and still overcame that and made some plays. And again, you know, I'll go back to it. Beasley and Brown on third down, I mean, those guys are – they were money yesterday. Money.
Right. Yep. Let's take a call from Dave in Florida. Hello, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how you doing, Merv? How you guys doing today?
Doing good. Okay. How you doing?
Okay, listen, I didn't get to see the whole game being in Florida, but my takeaway has always been the coordinators that McDermott and Bean, their offensive and defensive coordinators, especially the defense, the way they game plan for each team has impressed the hell out of me. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but that's what I got to say, and I say we're going to go 4-0 because we're going to be
Thanks. All right, thanks, Dave. Ahead, Chris, Dave. Question along the same lines as Dave. Did anybody have a good description of you of what the Bills may have changed defensively after the first series, after the surrendering the 75-yard drive?
No, I don't think they changed very much. From what I understand, the issue was the tempo. Just talking to some of the defensive players.
Really?
The Giants went fast on that first drive. No Bills, huddle, bang, up to the line, bang.
Kept talking about they had their 15-play script and they ran it.
Well, yeah, and I think it was the tempo at which they ran it, because after the Bills got a big gain against them, bang, they were right up to the line going again. And I don't think the Bills had their bearings in terms of, okay, they're going again, bang. You know, and so I think it didn't give them time to settle into their own game plan to combat whatever the Giants were throwing at them. So after that first drive, they all come to the sideline like, all right, look, it's a West Coast offense. We know they got their 15-play script. Let's just settle down. Let's look at the pictures, what they did here on the first drive. Because, I mean, they got people out in space where there was nobody. They got outflanked. They didn't hold the edge very well on those first couple of run plays that Saquon took over to the right side. I know Trent Murphy got sucked inside on one of them for sure and didn't hold the edge, and that left the back door open for him on one play that went for 20-plus on the ground. And so they were just kind of out of sync and caught off guard. So they settled down after that, and the Giants slowed their tempo down.
Yes.
Once that second possession went nowhere, they should have said, let's put our foot back on the gas and see if we can get them again. Because all it takes is one big play, and now you got them on the move. If you keep the same personnel grouping out there, now they're floundering a little bit, or their communication might not be as sound as it usually is.
Right.
And they went away from that. I was dumbfounded by that.
I've always said, when you go tempo like that, all you need is one first down.
Yeah.
And then you're on, because then the other team's like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Then you get a couple.
And that's what the
chances.
Bills looked like on that first drive.
That's right.
May have prevented the Bills' defense from putting people in. In fact, they had a plan different. Nickel packages, big nickel packages, right, with Saran Neal. And then,
yeah, I talked to Dean Marlowe about that after the game. So he basically said the way it was working yesterday was 12 personnel, first and second down, Marlowe's on the field. Your big nickel, you know, help you in the run game maybe a little bit more. First and second down, 11 personnel, Saran Neal's on the field. You know, a little bit better coverage player.
Sure. Yeah.
Put him out there when they got three wides, one tight end, one back. And then third down, Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
No matter what the down and distance, no matter what the personnel grouping, put Kevin Johnson out there, your best coverage player, you know, so you can have a guy that's going to be right on his man at the sticks or wherever his man's taking him. So that was the plan yesterday.
And that is so good, using the whole roster. You know what I mean? Going deep down the roster.
Well, and that's depth again.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that last year.
You're right.
You could not do that last year.
Oh, my gosh, they were trying to find guys.
You had Raphael Bush as your nickel last year. Yeah. Just think about that for a second. He was the only guy who was your nickel and never really played it in his career. He was a career safety. And, you know, now you got Saran Neal, who has cornerback experience from college and can run with people in cover. He's playing in a specific down and a specific personnel grouping. And you got Marlowe doing something else. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what they do this week because, you know, a hamstring injury is tough for a defensive back just with the stop and start nature of their position to come back from in a week or 2 weeks' time.
You're talking
about Taren? Yeah, depending on the level of the strain or sprain or pull. So, you know, they may have to come up with another game plan this week with that.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of game plan they come up with this week if Devin Singletary's not available.
Do you know anything more about his hamstring?
No, but it was funny because I talked to Frank Gore after the game, and one of the other reporters was asking him about Devin, and Frank was like, oh, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. So hopefully it's just a minor strain, or maybe he felt a little tweak in it, and say,
yeah, that, you know? And it's a good move. If and I've seen other guys do that. You go, you run down, or some play happens, they just go down because they know if they take one more step, and you really do. You know,
I've
if
done
you take
it.
One,
I know
right.
It.
If you take one
it.
More step, you are done for a month. And Singletary, you could see he pulled up real quick, stopped, and didn't test.
I just didn't like the way he was limping off. Like, he's like, I'm not putting any weight. I'm not putting any. I thought it was an ankle first. Like, he didn't want to put any weight on that leg whatsoever. I guess the good thing is, you know, he didn't immediately, like, grab it, because when you do that, that's the old shot in the back of the leg feeling.
Yeah,
and then you know you pulled it completely.
Right.
And I've done that in both of my legs, and it is not fun.
Right. And there is a chance that he could have caught it before it was serious.
Might just have a twinge in there or a strain. And you know,
still
fortunately, the game was in hand where you could take him out.
Still
you didn't need him.
This game is not in hand. And if
if
they're going to – if he doesn't practice till if he's game time decision, the decision is no.
Well,
that brings,
then it's Yeldon and Gore.
Right. But do you – I wonder, it'll be interesting. That's my point. It'll be interesting to see if they go – too tight. Some
does
more,
the game plan
wides,
change? You mean
or four? Or do they start going four wides? Five? You know, five wides? Do they? They've got an extra roster spot. Then they don't have. You know, they got
San Fran hung 41 on them and ran the ball with abandon. I mean,
right?
They're not. You know, I don't know how much Cincinnati's going to be able to fix in a week. You know, going against an offense that really doesn't have a problem staying on the field here the first 2 weeks.
Let's take another call for Chris Brown while he's here with us. Tom in Buffalo, go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
How you guys doing? I'm pretty encouraged by what I see, the play calling, the whole thing. The only criticism I have of yesterday's game, and it's not really that much of a criticism, is just at the end of the first half there, where they had plenty of time where they could have easily taken a shot or two downfield.
Yeah, we talked about it on the radio. 28-yard line drive start, what was it, 48 seconds left?
47 or something
they
like
have
that.
Two timeouts?
Two timeouts.
It could have gone for it.
It was right after the Trent Murphy interception.
As somebody pointed out, and I said this to Eric on the radio yesterday, they knew they were getting the ball coming out. Or Cole Beasley talked about this.
Yeah.
They knew they were getting the ball coming out in the second half, so they probably figured
I mean, I was getting a lot of Twitter blowback on that after they didn't get anything out of that possession.
They didn't want anything. They knelt down.
Well, yeah. And I think that was –
that's my –
no, I'm talking about the Bills getting the ball there after the turnover and not making anything of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're up 14, so, okay, it's a two-score game. You know you're getting the first possession out of the locker room – second half, because he'd won the toss and deferred. But the fans that were coming at me on Twitter, perturbed by it, was they said, that's a step on the throat part of the game. You score points there, you effectively step on their throat, because if you come out of the locker room second half and you put more points on the board after, that game's over. Game's over right there.
A little bit of better field position than I would have felt better about that.
It's a long way to go, I understand, but you're marching down the field on this team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It hasn't been an issue.
I agree. I think it's a defensive mentality rather than an offensive mentality. I think you're leaning on the strength of your team. You're thinking your defense is going to come through. But here's the thing.
And you should have been in. You're in a position.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
If your play doesn't go well, you can still run it out the clock. They have no timeouts. You kneel down then. But take one shot. Have Josh drop back. And if it's not there, you know, throw it into the third row.
I mean, and at that point,
come back and
your defense has regained control of the game.
Yeah.
You know, when the Giants' offense is on the field, I think you can turn up the risk meter a little bit there and try to put the game away.
I agree. Every once in a while, we get a reminder that Sean McDermott's a defensive coach. You know what I mean?
Well, and it wouldn't shock me. You know, you're in the same confines you were in last week when you turned the ball over four times. I think that's still in the back of his mind there, and he's thinking, let's not take any unnecessary risk. We're up two scores. You know, I don't need Josh throwing it all over the yard here and having a late turnover, and then they put points on the board again.
I
would have gone for it, but I understand.
Yeah, I would too. But
I wouldn't be surprised if we found out somewhere down the line that two touchdowns up with going into halftime where you're getting the ball coming out of halftime, the analytics say kneel down on it.
Right, but
you know
then look
saying?
At but then look at this. The offense disappeared in the third quarter.
Right.
You came out in the second half, third quarter, and you did nothing for three possessions, I think it was.
Yep.
So, you know, it almost lends to our argument, be more aggressive there at the end of the half. You don't know what you're going to come out like in the second half or what that other team has adjustment-wise for you, right?
Right, exactly.
You want to stick for a few more minutes, Chris? Can you do
that? Yeah, I can do that.
What do you got today? You busy today?
I'm just crunching numbers, you know, getting ready for the noteworthy numbers column tomorrow.
All right.
Very nice.
Chris Brown's coming back. Steve and I are coming back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from our Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Motoring through the show today. We only got 26 minutes left. Are you kidding, Steve? You want to stick around and do a few more hours?
Yeah. You stick around.
I'll watch you. Yeah. I'll go home and watch you.
Right.
Chris Brown is with us. That helps, of course. Chris Brown, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. Just getting our takeaways from yesterday's game. Want to hear yours? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Steve, you're looking at the tweet sheet. You want to read some of them, so let's do it. Tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. What do you got there, Steve?
Pretty good one from Nicky Boy. I think yesterday's game shows that we're a well-rounded team.
We read that one already. Get another one.
What?
Yeah,
I didn't think
that.
I was going to say before I read it that we haven't read any of them.
Did that one.
All right, here we go. Guy named Jello. Here we go. The Giants don't have a great defense, and their offense is not good aside from Saquon. That being said, Barkley ran all over the Bills on the opening drive. I'm impressed how Saquon was bottled up after that. Probably part Giants bad planning, but the D looked good. Also from James from the tweet sheet, the biggest takeaway from the Bills win over the Giants, I have to say the D adjustments. They didn't let that first drive define the rest of the game. They weathered the storm. They took the edge out of Saquon's game, forced him into the teeth of the defense. Super impressed, Saran Neal, and also the uncompromising play of our defense.
What do you make of Saran Neal, Chris? We talked about his role in the, nickel package the Bills were running. He made some special teams plays as well. The kind of depth that they were desperate in need of last year, and they get it. And the guy seems to love to play. By the way he flies around,
works his tail off.
Yeah,
I know that. You got to think about this. This was a guy who was handed a role that he had very limited experience in. He played a little bit of it, he said, in college. But in college, he played nickel. Well, yeah. He played a little bit of it in college, but he also played safety, linebacker, and corner at Jacksonville State, where he was one of the best athletes on that side of the ball for them. Basically told in the spring, you're going to learn the nickel spot. And, he embraced it. And I think with each passing week, through the course of training camp, preseason, to now, he's no longer thinking out there. He's just playing. Because I talked to him first week in August. I said, how's it going? And he said, I'm not playing fast yet. He goes, but I'm not playing slow. He goes, I'm somewhere in the middle where there are some plays where I do have to think for an extra half second, and then I can go. Reading the play kind of thing. And I talked to him this week, this past week, knowing he was going to get a lot more playing time with Taron Johnson out. I said, hey, I'm checking in. Where are you now? Between now and when I talked to you in August. He said, night and day. He said, I am just playing now. I've got this. And, credit defensive assistant Jim Salgado. He's the guy that handles the nickel guys. That's kind of his job with respect to the secondary. He handles all the slot guys. And he was handling Marlowe and Neal last week in practice, and those guys were ready.
Yep. All right, so give me one nugget of improvement for both sides of the ball for this week against the Cincinnati Bengals.
I think on defense, it's a different animal this week. You had a premier player last week that you really had to worry about.
Cincinnati can't run the ball a lick.
Well, Mixon's hurt, so that didn't help them last week. I don't know what his status is going to be for this week. If it's Mixon and Bernard, that's not a bad 1-2 punch there. But their offensive line has some injuries. Cordy Glenn's been in concussion protocol since the preseason. So I don't know where he's going to be at this week. But I think for the defense, really, there's really not much you can knock.
Right.
I mean, outside of just being ready right at the start, I don't think you can really knock much there. They're performing like we thought they were. They're a top-5 defense. And then this past week, they just started to get some takeaways. So if they can combine those two things, combine week one in the way they locked it down with week two and the takeaway ability, you combine that in week three, there's no way Cincinnati's getting more than 13 points this week.
I say combine that in week four.
And then on offense.
Don't talk about the Patriots.
Then on offense, I want to continue to see more of that healthy balance between run and pass. We saw it was more balanced this past week. Yep. I want to keep heading in that direction to really make them, you know, unpredictable. I'm not saying it's got to be 50-50, Steve, but I want to see like 60-40, 65-35, you know, mix it in there where you're at least giving that opposing defense the sense that anything can could be coming at you.
I am totally over the balance 50-50 thing, run pass. I think you go hit them where it hurts, and if you throw 90 times during – if you throw 90% of the plays in one game, that's great if you win and if it's what you want to do. And then if the next week you need to be able to come back and run it 90% of the time the next week. Yeah, I think you do whatever you do to win that game, whether it's, you know – yeah. Whatever the balance is. You just need to be able to do both of them when you want. You'd
probably
and whenever
say
you
cut
want.
Back a little bit on the penalties on offense. That kind of set them back and long
the
down
pre-snap
the distance.
The pre-snap things are killers.
Yeah.
Is Josh Allen running it too often?
No, I don't think so.
I'm almost there.
Yeah, I know. You worry about him.
I don't worry. I just think, you know, you're kind of flirting with disaster.
You are.
A little bit. And
you
he
are.
Runs it a lot now in two games.
But when he runs out to the right and he can stiff arm a linebacker and shove him on the ground, I'm a little less concerned.
That was great.
Is that going to happen?
I'm a little
time?
Less concerned.
I think he's running almost the perfect amount. You need him to always be the threat. And when he runs a little bit too much, the defense is always thinking about him first. It's just one more thing that they got to do. Plus, like this last game where they called this. Called quarterback sweep student. We're calling it student body right here. That is an enormous concern for a defensive coordinator and a defense. They got that guy in their mind all the time, and I think he's running just about the right amount because we're all thinking about it.
Well, averaging 8.5 runs per game. There are some scrambles in there, but
that's a lot of extra time for a defense in the game plan room. I mean, you gotta figure out a way to have some extra guy free to spy him.
I thought the Giants did a little bit of that yesterday.
They did. Not with tremendous effectiveness.
No,
but
no. Who was the linebacker? Was it Ogle?
47 was on him a couple of times. Yeah. That's Ogletree.
Ogletree, yeah.
He was spying him a couple times.
Yeah. So, and that'll continue, you know, as we go through the season. And that's a good thing because if they got some guy occupying and responsible for him, that's one less guy in your coverage scheme.
Yep.
And that's where the game planning gets complicated because now you've got to account for him potentially taking off. So even when it's a pass play, we got to leave this guy sitting in here to spy him.
But it also comes down to the fact that but they won't spy him all the time. And then you got to kind of when's the best plan. It gets complicated because still, I think you're going to do it this time and not next time. And you do it this time and not next time.
And
that kind of thing.
And
you know?
It was funny because in the locker room yesterday, you know, everybody's talking about the New York reporter that, you know, got kind of joked on by Josh, you know, saying, well, you had a chance to play in New York. And he's like, well, I am in New York. You know, newsflash, Buffalo is in New York State. But in the locker room, I'm standing there with another reporter talking to Frank Gore, and somebody said to him, well, I know you didn't see Josh play last year. And he goes, I saw Josh play last year. He saw him dominate and single-handedly take over the game against Miami down there.
Yeah,
right. I was like, did you forget that he played for Miami last year? He saw him twice. Yeah. I mean, it was, and he saw him account for 5 touchdowns in the season finale when they put 42 on the board. Frank's like, I've seen this guy.
Yeah,
he's pretty good. He's the
one
right
more
guy
call
for us.
While Chris Brown is with us, Dave calling from Clarence. Go ahead, Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Just a quick question about the Zebras, but first I want to make a comment about the end of the first half there that you were talking about. I think that as the season rolls along and the offense starts getting more, you know, more used to playing with each other, I think they give Josh a shot in a situation like that. My comment about that is I don't think you're going to see Brady taking a knee in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
My other thing is about the Zebras. There was one play about midway through the second quarter where they had Eli on a run going to the right, and he threw the ball away, but it was like 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It went out of bounds. There was no call on the play. And doesn't it have to go over the line of scrimmage?
You're talking about grounding, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because Josh got flagged for that because he was outside the tackle box too, and he did not get the ball back to the line of scrimmage, and he got flagged for it in the same game.
I was sitting with a group of guys, and we were all screaming for it. And then for the next snap, the Bills called timeout, and I says, oh, they're going to throw
the only thing I can think of is there was a quote-unquote receiver in the area that may not have shown up on the television screen.
Yeah.
I think that might be why it didn't get thrown.
There's an element of judgment that comes into
Right.
Intentional grounding. Like, is that something that could be caught? Is there somebody in the area?
I'm going to say.
Might have been a play there, too.
I'll say this. The Dawson Knox penalty, ticky-tack.
Awful.
The Mitch Morse holding penalty.
Was non-existent.
Tick-tack.
Was non-existent.
You know what else was ticky-tack? The penalty on the Giants for slapping the head of
Reed Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't need to call that. It had no impact on the play. I know you want to protect people's heads, but I mean, he barely touched him. Barely touched him.
Yeah.
And that resulted in a Buffalo touchdown. Right? Next play.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call. Brownie, what's coming up on the website?
So we'll have quick hits, which is basically the quick synopsis of what Coach covers this afternoon at his press conference at 4. So if you don't get a chance to watch that on Facebook Live on BuffaloBills.com, there's the read-it-up quick version that should take you all of about 2 minutes to get the new information you need on that. And then tomorrow we'll have our noteworthy numbers column. We'll kind of dissect some of the more interesting trends going on with the team through the first 2 weeks, where we may not call it a trend yet, but there are encouraging signs with some elements of the Bills game, and we're working both sides of the ball on that for tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'm fighting with that. You know, we've only got two games. Things have happened. You're like, wow, that's good, that's good, that's a trend. But you have to fight it a little bit.
Yeah.
You keep yourself in check. It's only two. Yeah.
But there are some encouraging signs for a couple of numbers in particular, which I won't get into now. We'll save it for tomorrow. But it's looking good right now. There's a couple of areas where the Bills led the league, and they're off to a very good start again this year on the defensive side of the ball. That'll be the only hint I give you guys.
Yeah, they're facing a team this year, and granted, they've had Joe Mixon has been out, but the Cincinnati Bengals are 32nd in the league. They've got 59 total net yards rushing on the season.
Right.
They've been
their line is a little disjointed right now. They've got guys in and out of the lineup. You know, they did pretty well moving the ball against Seattle in week one. I think they had 450 yards of total offense.
Yes.
Lost the game, but they were moving the football. And they've been doing that. Let's not forget this too, Steve. No Joe Mixon, no A.J. Green. I mean, that's that's like the Steelers without Bell and Brown. Oh, yeah. Wait, that's happening.
And now they're
0-2.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's tough. You don't have your playmakers. It's a much bit steeper hill to climb.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider. Catch him on BuffaloBills.com. Steve and I back in a moment. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Coming to you from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. What do we learn from today's show? It is brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment, construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. What do we learn? Good show today. We had a lot of good guests, including our most recent guest, Chris Brown. But Cole Beasley joined us in the first hour of the show, Bills wide receiver. Talked about the mindset of this Buffalo offense as they move on with their 2-0 record.
Just two games in, we had a lot of turnovers in the first one. We did a better job of that in game two. Then, like I said, the penalties in the second half of the previous game we just played. So, really just cleaning it up. And, you know, as long as we execute the stuff that we do, you know, we'll be fine. We just got to do better of staying on track.
Cole Beasley, Bills receiver. Also on the show today, Eric Wood, my partner on the Bills Sunday radio broadcast, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. Eric Wood talked to us about how this Bills team can improve for the Week 3 matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Moving forward, I'd like to see the Bills capitalize on some of their big plays through the air. Josh Allen had John Brown over the top on an early play action. That would have been an excellent hit. Instead, they end up scoring on the drive, but then you show a number of your red zone plays that you might have had saved for later in the game. So hit on a couple more balls down the field to really open up the field. But they were efficient yesterday. And then what can the Bills defense do to improve? And they just got to be consistent week to week. And obviously they start slow yesterday, and they would love to correct that. But, you know, the Giants guys get paid too. You're not going to play a perfect game. I was so impressed the way they made adjustments and were able to bounce back from that drive. But, you know, on defense, you know, they've done a great job of limiting big plays, and they just got to continue doing that.
They can improve, Steve. There's no question about that. But, again, as I said at the top of the show, that was an efficient, workmanlike, professional win for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. Very impressive.
They looked solid all the way around the field, both offense, defense. They had some plays on special teams. They gave up the one gaffe they gave up was a special teams return for 61 yards on the punt return. They ended up getting it back with a turnover, I believe. But a lot to be happy about and feel confident about going forward. But you know, nothing's easy. They got a game Sunday, too, you know.
Long way
to
go.
I don't know if you heard about it.
Kyle Brandt's going to join us tomorrow from NFL Network. I want to thank our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honiter, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.